So we have spent yesterday on that, and it makes me think of two teachers that occurred to me this morning. One is our noble friend, the Vietnamese Zen master, Thich Nhat Hanh. And I carry with me the words he said when some of us approached him to ask more. The question was more strategic. What do we most need to do for the healing of our world? And why should we run for office? Should we follow a monastic path? Should we go for working in settlement houses? But you may recall his answer. He says, what we most need to do is to hear within ourselves the sounds of the earth crying. That's such a remarkable thing. What we most need to do is to hear within ourselves the sound of the earth weeping. First of all, it implies that we can hear the earth weeping within ourselves. What a concept. The earth knowing herself in me? Of course, we got to get used to that. So for both John Seed and me, and I'll be talking about him more, that phrase of Thich Nhat Hanh has been a guiding one. But there's another one from that I ran across this morning. So glad I brought it along. It's from another Australian. And he's a cartoonist named Michael Lunig. Anybody here know Michael Lunig's work? All right, just make a mental note. There's several little books. So his phrase about this is what to do when your heart gets broken. It's sort of short, get used to it. Because you can do all the despair work and beating your chest, but you don't cathart it. You just go out because the world is going to break your heart every day. So you might as well get used to it. So here, I will not interrupt Michael Lunig. When the heart is cut or cracked or broken, do not clutch it. Let the wound lie open. Let the wind from the good old sea blow in to bathe the wound with salt and let it sting. Let a stray dog lick it. Let a bird lead in the hole and sing a simple song like a tiny bell and let it ring. Let it go, let it out. Let it all unravel. Let it free and let it be a path on which to travel. Pardon? His name is Michael Lunig, Leunig. In Germany, that'd be Leunig. So, even the tears, that's okay. You don't be afraid of that. Helps you see rainbows, doesn't it? Keeps you humble, keeps you open. You're not running for the presidency of the Great Turning anyway. This time it's not going to be one Buddha, but all of us. Have you heard that? So we come as we are. And there's Rosalie this morning asked me to just speak a word about collective intelligence. I consider it a necessary evolutionary response for life to go on. You see, self-reflexive consciousness, which occurs with very complex brains as in humans and higher marine mammals, very complex. Then the choices facing such an organism are too multiple, too manifold to allow you to resolve them by trial and error. As was true through the whole evolutionary chain. But then, with as the brain complexifies, choices complexify, multiply. And you can't go, I'll go down here. Oh, no, I went there. I'm going to go down here. No, it just takes too long. And so what you do is you lift up a level, so to speak. You're capable of looking down and seeing. You bring to your mind all the possibilities that you can think and say, well, if I do that, then no, and then maybe, but then I'd go to do this first and then that. And that process of imagining the choices is what constitutes, and here I'm drawing this from both systems theory and the teachings of the Buddha, because he said consciousness comes through decision making. That's where you know, that's where the awareness occurs, that's where your identity happens. Where you are in the moment is what you choose and what you've chosen. And so that, so in our evolution up to now, self-reflexive consciousness is what we imagine it between our ears, looking out through our eyes, speaking through our mouth, feeling with the senses of this body. And for our collective life, we make choices by referring them to I'll decide and you decide and you decide what we'll all do, and then we'll count up our choices. And so that's what we've been doing for a few centuries. And we have the ballot box. And we have, oh, heaven help us, electric voting machines. I'm sitting up here with a dear friend who has been, knows a lot about the failings of electric computerized voting. And so now we're experiencing how that system of referring choices back to the individual psyche, counting them up, being sure everybody gets a vote. Oh boy, look what's been happening to the Voter Rights Act. So many people deprived already in recent years. And have you noticed how that very act of voting through the election system in our country and others has become so easily corrupted, and how slow it takes? When we're faced with things, we have to respond to very quickly. So there are signs that there is of a collective decision making which are beginning to emerge now. They tend to be seen, these phenomena, as parapsychological or paranormal, perhaps seen as cases of extrasensory perception or channeling from the Pleiades or something for the fate of the world, and they're very, can be very helpful. But they're easier for me to understand from the point of view of systems theory and the function of consciousness being self-reflexive consciousness, which comes with choice making, by evolutionary pressure, where life depends on our making some choices now faster than a slow, corruptible voting system. Are you with me? And this could be the subject matter of a week of discussions, and maybe we can organize that sometime and bring in people to, but that's what I mean. There is an emergence of collective intelligence, where we are, and you can sense this in brainstorming together, working with a group that you are used to working with, that is aimed at a common goal. And as a matter of fact, I have, now that I allowed myself to get on this subject, that's your fault, Rosalie. All right, here are the, I'm reading from, this is the last book about my work. How can we as individuals help our species make the holonic shift, I call it this, because we're on a holon level where we're separate individuals. The next holon is a systemic level, is that of a community, a society, or an ecosystem. And we're in a process where the decision-making process is beginning to make the shift to the next systems level. So, would you like me to just read the... Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Number one. Attune to a common intention. So we work on that. And that's what we're doing here to a large extent. We want, and bodhicitta does this automatically, we're wanting life on earth to continue. Intention is not a goal or plan you can formulate with precision. It's an open-ended aim. And may we meet common needs and collaborate in new ways. And it can't be a very firm, because as you move toward it, each step brings new possibilities that you can't predict. In other words, emergent properties, a phenomenon in open systems that as they combine and act together and you join this committee or that farm, make a plan, something happens, something emerges that was not there before. So don't think you need to have a clear plan at the beginning. That would be counterproductive. I think A.J. Musty said, didn't he? Let the way show the way. Was that he? Welcome diversity is point two. Self-organization of the whole requires differentiation of the parts. So that's obvious. Point three, know that only the whole can repair itself. You cannot fix the world, but you can take part in its self-healing. Healing wounded relationships within you and between you and others is integral to the healing of our world. For you're only a small part of a much larger process, like a nerve cell in a neural net. So learn trust. Trust means taking part and taking risks when you can't control or even see the outcome. Five, open to flows of information from the larger system. So don't resist painful information about the condition of your world, but understand that the pain you feel for the world springs from interconnectivity, and your willingness to experience it unblocks feedback that is important to the well-being of the whole. Six, speak the truth of your experience of this world. If you have persistent responses to present conditions, assume that they are shared by others. willing to drop old answers and old roles. Give voice to the questions that arise in you. Believe no one is point number 7. Believe no one who claims to have the final answer. Such claims are a sign of ignorance and limited self-interest. This list was actually finally formal, started in Germany, and my German colleagues were very strong on that point. Eight, work increasingly in teams or joint projects serving common aims. Build community through shared tasks and rituals. 9, be generous with your strengths and skills. They are not your private property. That was eloquently stated evoked in our meeting for worship this morning. Be generous with your strengths and skills. They are not your private property. They grow from being shared. They include both your knowing and your not knowing, and the gifts you accept from the ancestors and all beings. 10, boy, is this one I love. Draw forth the strengths of others by your own acknowledgement of them. Never prejudge what a person can contribute, but be ready for surprise and fresh forms of synergy. Find the pleasure, and this is not there, but I just so love this one. What was that one? Yeah, that's 10. Find your capacity to really enjoy admiration, admiring people.